Since all these females want to keep texting his phone because they had his number before, talking about, are you good? You and China good? No, we good. We good. We good. We straight.
And China took everything that we built for the nursery for the baby dream, and she left.
It's gonna burn for me to say this, but it's coming from my heart. It's been a long time coming, but we did fell apart. I really wanna work this out, but I don't think you're gonna change. I do, but you don't. Think it's best we go our separate ways. Tell me why I should stay in this relationship when I'm hurting, baby. I ain't happy, baby. Cause there's so many other things I've gotta deal with.
We're here.
I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
We want to welcome you guys to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Our last normal episode of the year 2016 is out of here. Next week, we'll be bringing you our year-end podcast with all of our awards and a couple ciphers, too. So just like last year, this marks the end for us talking MMA, hip-hop, boxing, all that stuff for this year. So we're going to cram a lot into this show, but we're going to make it entertaining for you. Of course, you know, I am Kel Dansby here with Andreas Hale, who is sick. So
yeah, man, whatever you had last week, you gave me through the podcast. So no more podcast with you, man.
I'm telling you, man, between the podcast and us going to NXT, I definitely made you sick. All bad.
Yeah.
So we'll try to make Andreas non-grumpy today, which isn't going to help due to the sickness. Let's start by talking something off the beaten path. Something I want the people to know you, Andreas. This is the key to today's podcast. And I got to bring up how to handle heartbreak.
Oh, I don't know.
You are a wise guy. You are a wise man. You've lived a lot of years on this earth. I'm bringing it up because Rob Kardashian had his heart broken and he wowed out on IG.
Just
up and left him.
Is she really leaving him, though? She's going to have her clutches in Rob forever. She got that baby, too. She came up like a basketball wife. She won.
Oh, yeah. She... one of the best underdog stories of the year right there. Her and Ellsworth are like two of the best underdog stories this year. You can't script it any better. She made the come up, but she bounced like a thief in the night, left the crib empty. He was crying all weekend on IG. That can't be the way to handle heartbreak. I know, listen, I understand that you're married and, you know, you and the wife are doing great and all this stuff, but you've had relationships before, I am assuming. How have you handled heartbreak in the past?
I don't get my heart broke.
Oh, you're too cool for the heartbreak?
Nah, but before early relationships, I wasn't on, like, social media. I'm a private dude, so you'll never catch me airing out my feelings on social media like that. That's ridiculous. I don't open up those doors, so my way to handle heartbreak is to not air it out on social media, because that shit's like a pity plea. I don't like people that do that shit. You get your heart broke, keep it to yourself, man, or with your friends or your family. Like, people on Twitter and social media aren't your real friends. I don't know. I don't subscribe to that notion that you should be sharing your feelings and crying your eyes out on Twitter and Instagram. That's corny to me.
Are you telling me you've never been dumped? Is this what we're getting at? You've never.
I mean, like in high school. I mean, yeah.
When you had the curls for the girls.
Yeah, I mean, in high school, you know. But I was a savage in high school though. So
it was on to the next.
Yeah, it was never really an issue. It was, you know, things happen. I mean, I've had one bad breakup in my life, and that was like going right into college. And again, I kept it to myself for the most part. You know, I don't really share all that with people that I don't know. So I don't know what Rob thinks he's doing. Keep that shit to yourself, man. Because I mean, if she's going to come back, all she gotta do is look at your Instagram to see how you feel about things.
That's
like
true.
Keep it to yourself.
Now, I mean, I'm not proud to say that in my day I pulled a mini Rob Kardashian. It was back on MySpace. I guess it was high school, right? Yeah, yo, but it was on some real, like, I was posting song lyrics to my MySpace wall and shit. Like, it was all bad. I remember, like, listening to Usher's Let It Burn.
Oh, God.
Like, like Tom Dubois on the fucking Boondocks. It was horrible, man. The heartbreak was real. I remember the chick. I'll say her name, Rilana Corpus, too. Like, she was, like, my early crush. And I was like, yo, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I remember, and I thought I was fly. I was like, yeah, I got my little football jersey on. I just got my Letterman because it was my first year on varsity. I was like, yeah. And I'm walking through the halls, and she, like, whacked me out for, like, a kid who was 1 year older than me and in ROTC.
Damn.
And I couldn't wrap my mind around, like, yo, how am I a jock and I lose a chick to ROTC, dude? Like, and he had, like, the real military haircut, too, where his hairline wasn't even there. He got, like, the little fade on the side. Oh, man. He's Facebook friends with me to this day, though. Colin Stepney. I remember this shit like it was yesterday. Just completely snatched from me. And I had to play it off like I was cool, but I was, like, sub-tweeting before Twitter and shit.
Oh, my God.
The MySpace was, yo, when you used to have, like, I entered the code and had, like, a real sad and somber playlist going.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had, like, the Shawn Michaels broken heart emojis, like, scrolling across the page and shit.
You lost your smile.
Yo, telling you, man, that was, like, the one heartbreak. It was crushing. Like, it took a good, like, 2 or 3 weekend parties for my boys to snap me out of it. It was the real deal. To this day, I remember that. Yo, it was so real. I tell everyone this story. She was Asian. She was like half Filipino, half Hawaiian. And I learned how to use chopsticks over the summer so I could go to her house like during homecoming week the next year to meet her parents because I wanted to ask her for homecoming. And I wanted to know how to use chopsticks when I went to her house. Like, to eat pancit and, like, fucking Filipino food and stuff. And I was like, yo, the whole summer I was in New York learning how to fucking... I was eating the most ridiculous stuff with chopsticks just so I could learn. And I still know how to use them to this day, so shout out to her. Life skills over the heartbreak.
Wait, so what is she doing today?
Yo, she has no social media. So with everyone that I'm still friends with or in contact with loosely, I just planned the 10-year reunion. She wasn't there. All of her friends, like her crew was there and everything else that she used to hang out with, but she eventually went and joined the Air Force. I think she may have a man and might be married. I don't even know. Like, out of everyone to lose contact with, she is the only person that I did. So that's another thing. Like, she broke my heart and got ghost.
Damn, you can't even keep tabs on her.
Nah, you can't even
see if you're doing better than her. That's what everybody does. You split and check on Facebook to see if shorty's doing better than you.
I'm really hoping that, like, she's on, like, her second divorce or something.
See?
I need something, like, to just be like, yeah, see? You went left. You chose poorly. Yeah, I don't know, man. I really got to ask about that, though. Rilana Corpus, it's real. I'm gonna figure out what happened to her, but that was the real crush and heartbreak. I remember that like forever. Like, yeah, she definitely curved me.
It's amazing how Facebook and like social media has become the way to keep tabs of people that you don't talk to anymore, and you just try to really check to see if they're doing better than you. See, I'm in a good space, so not too many people are doing better than me, so I'm good. So I just kind of chill out and I just wait for people to come on my page or whatever. But it's just funny. Like, you look and be like, man, what's such and such doing? Or what happened to old girl? Oh, she's fat. Oh, she got like 12 kids. Oh, she's been divorced twice. And we like celebrate their failure. It's wrong.
Listen, I'm the king of petty. Yeah, I love it. Like whatever. Like, if someone's looking through my IG, they're just tight. Because they're like, yo, he's at all these events. He's like, yo, I don't know what to tell you. I really hope my ex, like my ex in life, looks at my page and is just like, damn. Like, I'll whack myself out. Because she ain't doing nothing. I blocked her, so I don't got to see it. But like, my family still follows. I'll be like, yo, you ain't doing nothing. Like, she went off. She gained weight and all that shit. I was like, ah, you whack.
Wow.
I don't care. It's the realest shit ever wrote right there. Like, I wish upon her nothing but double chins and arm fat.
Wow, you are Petty Dansby. Oh my God. Petty Dansby.
It's so real. That's how you handle heartbreak for everyone listening. That's how you do it. Don't take the high road. It's overrated. Wish upon them the worst things possible.
Amazing.
I'm telling you, man. I hope she remains broke forever. Shout out to the call center life.
Oh my God.
Which is a whole different conversation.
You are a savage. Oh my God.
Listen, man. Listen, I wish we had enough time on the podcast to go into all. Call centers are the worst thing ever invented. Don't trust your girl with a work bay. And yeah, pretty much the gist of it. So shout out to the call center life. She's still living it large in the call centers, working that good 10 to 6 probably. And, you know, I'm chilling recording a podcast in the middle of a morning on a Wednesday. So I can't complain. I win. So super petty. Shout out to Rob K. Hopefully, you know, he goes the petty route. He tried apologizing. You just got to go completely opposite. Like, just make her out to be... She's an ex-stripper. There's plenty of ammo.
See, what Rob didn't do was spot the jig when it was coming. Like, that jig was... The jig was there from day one. Like, what does this girl want to do with me other than my money? Like, how did he not see this?
Because we're guys, and we never see stupid shit like that coming. Like, it could be right in our face, and then you just get blindsided by it. Everyone be like... Like, yo, your girl just wants this. Like, nah, she's changed. She loves me. It happens to a lot of guys. It's like the DMX line. Like, I love my baby mother. I never let her go. Like, that's the realest shit. Like, guys don't see that.
Yeah, nah, I'm a little too paranoid for all that. Like, my success these days would lead me just to be relatively paranoid of everybody. Because I don't think anybody wants me for me. I think they want something that they see on social media. That's why social media is kind of whack at the end of the day. It's like, because only people only put up things for either to cop please and get some sympathy or to make their life look better than it really is. So it's never like a real reality of where you're at in life. But
definitely not. Know. But I mean, no one wants to see like the real day to days of life, though. So I understand, like, if people had to see what I actually do all day, they'd be like, yo, this kid just sits in his house all day. And sits in front of his computer and writes. Like, it's not the most glamorous lifestyle in the world for a journalist. And this is what people don't see. They see us at events, though. They see us, like, you know, you more so than me, ringside at stuff. You got that Ioli chair now. You're moving up in the world. But, you know, it's just that's what people see. And they're like, wow, that's so cool and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but that's like, what, 6 hours? On a Saturday, like all day, we're literally just sitting at home looking for the next big story, writing, and now you editing other people's stuff. It's not that fun. And occasionally playing video games.
Yeah, people got it all confused in my life. They see some of the things that I've done, and it's like, oh man, you. Like, if me and my wife were to split and I was to find a new woman, she would be gravely disappointed with my lifestyle. She thinks, like, yo, I'm going to the Grammys, I'm going to the fights. Shorty, you're not going to none of that shit because this is what I do for work. And it's like, and none of this stuff is like you said, it's only a few hours out the day. And I don't even, it's like, it doesn't even really thrill me or entertain me. Like, I enjoy being at home. That's my thing. I like to be at home, watch movies, wrestling, listen to music. Like, I don't like going out. I live that old wash life. I'm an old man. That's just not my steez. But anyway.
Yeah, it's a rough life to be a girlfriend for. Shout out to my girlfriend who puts up with a lot of me just sitting at home and writing at 2 a.m. and doing stupidness where she would just be like, oh, she constantly tells me, can you put your phone down? Like, no. And she gave up at this point. She's just like, okay, yo, your phone's just attached to your hand. Let me just hold your other hand. So it takes a lot. So shout out to, listen, I didn't think I would get another girlfriend. I'm glad she understands. Because,
yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, especially this, nah. It's like, no, chick, I'm not taking you with me. Like, you seem, like, oh, can I get UFC tickets? Like, I don't get UFC tickets. You'd be surprised how many people ask stupidness like that.
Well, you know, the other thing is, you know, before we get into the show, is that what we do isn't, like, cool, like, the cool urban thing to do. Like, black women, minority, like sisters don't really care about MMA and boxing and pro wrestling. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's a handful.
Like, we care about this stuff and we love it. And it's like, the people who listen to this podcast, we hope you love it too. But women, this isn't like something to get women. Like, we don't do this to get women. There's nothing in this lifestyle that attracts women. Like, there's not barely any women that even cover these sports. So I don't know. Like, people would think it's like, yo, you journalist lifestyle is, no, it's not. It's not what you think it is. It's really not.
It's literally spending 90% of our week by ourselves in front of a computer and the other 10% around men.
Yeah.
It's not conducive to like a rock star lifestyle.
No, not at all. So, I've had my moments, but nah, this is not what it is, man. So anyway.
Lesson learned, get into music journalism and not sports. You got a little bit better of a wave.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I'm not going to divulge too much about that right now, but yeah, it's definitely a different world out there.
Let's not get you in trouble. Let's get into music, though. So let's get into the normal stuff of the show. MTV released their hottest MCs in the game list. Yo, they were like putting out a new artist every day at one point, and I just remember looking at it like, yo, Andreas is gonna be pissed. I think Kendrick came in at 8, and as soon as I saw that, I was just like, oh, well, this list is shot. The criteria was off. Everything about it is wrong.
Well, see, that's the hard part. You know, obviously people have seen it. Kanye comes in at number 1, Drake's number 2. Chance the Rapper's number 3, and then it's a bunch of other people. I think Young M.A. is on there somewhere, like 6 or something. I can't remember. But Kanye being at number 1, if you watch the video, and shout out to the homies Letty and B-Dot, who when Charlamagne was like number 1, goes to Kanye, their faces, they didn't vote number 1. It was Joe Budden proposed that Kanye was the hottest rapper in the game. And I felt like he did that because he was being petty towards Drake. Because... if your criteria, there's two ways to look at this. If your criteria is the hottest entertainer in hip hop, it's Drake. It's like bar none Drake when it comes to music. The dude has 1 billion streams on Spotify. If you're talking about
this pop, year, though, this year is probably Drake's worst year since he's been in the game.
Which is still better than everybody else's.
It's not better than Kanye's.
It's better. Kanye
was performing on a floating stage. Like, let's just be real. Before he went batshit crazy, his concert was just, that's just revolutionary.
Yeah, but who sold more? Like, this is what I'm saying. If we're talking about the criteria of hot in terms of like being an entertainer and your music, not hip hop, not for hip hop heads, but like your music. Drake doing 1 billion on Spotify outdoes anything that Kanye did.
I don't know, this year, Kanye had the better album this year.
No, he didn't. Kanye's album was trash, but okay, whatever. Maybe I'm in the minority and think Kanye's album was absolute trash.
I believe so.
I don't know how people think this is a good album. It's not a good album. But like Drake's album, yes, it was a cruise control album. And like I said, it was underwhelming. He had the opportunity to push the envelope, and he didn't. But One Dance, work like songs like Work with Rihanna, like, dog, when I'm talking about commercial viability, Drake beats out Kanye in that aspect. Now, if we're talking about the gossip rags, then, yeah, Kanye beats Drake. But we're talking – but then if you go to the criteria, if you shift it the other way
– even not gossip, like I guess his clothing takes into account –
That shouldn't count.
He had the biggest sneakers of the year. Jordan's everything.
That shouldn't count. Like, hottest MC?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What's the criteria? Like,
that's what I'm saying. If you're going by the criteria being hot in terms of sales and all that stuff, it's Drake. If you're going hot in terms of who is the most desired rapper, who like showed out, who influenced the most, it's Chance the Rapper. Like in terms of MCs, like Kanye, like Chance's music influenced Kanye's album. Chance should have been the hottest MC in the game. Correct. Drake should be the hottest rapper in the game. Kanye should be neither of those number one spots. Neither of them. But
it's, I don't, if you're going by relevance, I can see why they put Kanye over Drake.
He's relevant for all the wrong reasons, too. It's not like he's even relevant because of his music anymore.
No, it's the music is definitely secondary. But this album is so much better than Yeezus, anything else. It to me, it's better than the Drake album.
Yeah, no. That Kanye album is poop.
Chance, though, at 3, that's not bad.
Chance would be 1. I can't see, as big as a year that Chance had with Coloring Book, the things that he did, like if you want to look at, SNL, obviously they recorded this in November. People are going to say, well, where's J. Cole? And they recorded it in November. J. Cole had done nothing to that point.
Correct.
But, like, everything that Chance did this year, he was relevant. Performing at the White House. Like, he was – his ascent this year was monumental. And the Grammy nominations, like, he should have been the hottest MC. He should have been the hottest MC in the game. And yeah. Drake is the hottest rapper. Like, I get it with Kanye. Like, Kanye was – I wouldn't put Kanye Lord in 3, even though I did like his album. The buzz for it was crazy. The rollout for The Life of Pablo was haphazard as hell, but people were engaged and interested.
He debuted at Madison Square Garden with an aux cord.
Which is, I'm just saying.
It's bananas.
Kanye's big in terms of pop culture, but he's not, like, people aren't talking about his music anymore. Like, that's my problem with him being the hottest MC in the game. Nobody talks about his music. Like, over the past 6 months, what song do people talk about when it comes to Kanye?
They don't talk. You're right. They don't talk about songs. They talk about his rants at his concerts. They talk about his sneakers selling out. And now they talk about him going batshit crazy.
That's what it's like. There is nothing about music. Like, I'm in the process of writing a piece on Kanye. About, the false prophet is the number one hottest rapper in the game. It doesn't make any sense because it's not about music. Like, Chance is about music. Drake, whether you like him or not, his relevancy is really about his music. Like, his music connects with people, whether you like it or not. Like, a billion streams on Spotify, it's not anything to sneeze at. So no,
crazy.
Even though his album wasn't great, like, it's not even in my top 10 albums of the year, but he still had a noteworthy year, but I never understand the criteria. Cause I like, with Kendrick being at 8, I'm like, that's fine. Because Untitled and Master came out in like February. It's people mostly forgot about it. And he hasn't really done like his few of his guest spots weren't the greatest towards the end of the year. And he was invisible for the most part.
Yeah.
He shows up here and there. So I get that.
Travis Scott at 4. That's pretty good for Travis Scott. I can't
be upset at that. See, Travis Scott had a solid album, but I just don't. Number 4?
He had a nice little wave. Young Thug at 5. I don't know.
I'm not a fan. And people call me a hater, but I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. But
I don't think this was Young Thug's biggest year either. So, did he have an album? I thought he just had a mixtape this year.
Well, he had he had Jeffrey, which performed pretty well. And a lot of people, like I said, I'm not a fan. I listen to it, I don't care for it. But people like Jeffrey in Slime Season 3.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. Something around.
So Young Thug, I mean, he's very buzzworthy.
Okay.
People longs on the list somewhere. 21 Savage is on the list. I kind of don't know how Remy Ma is not on this list.
Definitely. Because she was definitely the number one female rapper of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what she did. I mean, she had the hottest single of the summer All the Way Up, right? And she's returned to relevancy. Being on Love and Hip Hop and not making an ass out of herself, like, she should have been there. Well, Remy Ma and Young M.A. are both dope. And
Young M.A. should have been on the list. The fact that she wasn't.
No, she's on the list.
No, she's not.
She's not?
Nope. Young Thug 5, Future 6, which is crazy. YG 7. Kendrick 8, Lil
Uzi. Future's on the list?
Yep. Lil Uzi Vert at 9, 21 Savage at 10.
What did Future? Are you sure that's the right list?
I am looking at the list.
Future's on the list? Why is Future on the list?
Future's at six.
What did he do this year?
I don't think Future did anything this year. I would argue that Ray Shremmerd had a better year than Future. And Designer definitely had a better year than Future.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I don't even want to talk about that.
If you're comparing people who, like, you know, sing rap and sing song shit, he's not even the hottest in his own category.
Damn, you're right. Young M.A. is not on this list. Why is she not on this list?
So Future is, I mean, YG had a decent year. I like the album. I don't know if he was hot necessarily. Definitely not hotter than Kendrick, right? Like,
see, that's the thing. I don't.
The Grammys were just this year, right?
Yeah, and Kendrick won a bunch.
Yeah, and his performance at the Grammys was captivating. So he deserves to be on the list. It was earlier in the year, and he kind of cooled off towards the end. But that's Kendrick. You know, he fades away. He does his work, whatever.
I mean, you know who should have been on this list for Schoolboy Q?
Schoolboy's album was super slept on. And we'll talk about that next week during our award show. But
yeah, Blankface was amazing. He had a great tour. His guest spots were great. And he established himself as number two on the hierarchy of TDE. Like, Q had a great year. I don't know how he's not on this list. Like, 21 Savage? Really?
Yo, the kids love 21 Savage. I don't understand it. Lil Uzi Vert? Okay, I guess. I'm not the biggest Uzi Vert fan. I don't understand. I'm too old for that shit, though. Like, that's when I notice I'm washed. Because I'll be like, I can't listen to that. Like, I'm officially old. Like, I can't listen to all this, you know, red tips in your hair, the million tattoos on your face music. I just can't. They don't say anything that appeals to my lifestyle.
Right.
I can listen to Lil Yachty only because a friend kind of put it into perspective for me. And then I was like, okay, dope. I can listen to his music with a new appreciation. Like, my friend was like, yo, don't listen to it expecting hip hop. He was like, go into it. And he was like, you're a Blink-182 fan, right? And I was like, yeah. He was like, his harmonies are the exact same as Blink-182. It's just over trap beats. And then I was like, okay, the trap beats instead of Travis Barker drums. Let me listen. And it is. He uses, like, the same punk rock, you know, late 90s harmonies and vibes. And his flow is completely taken from that genre. So I was like, okay, dope. I was like, I can appreciate it for what it is. Everyone else, though, these young cats, can't do it.
Yeah. All right, so we're 30 minutes into the show. We haven't talked about what we came to talk about.
Yo, this is what happens, man. We got to talk about UFC, then, since we give the people what they want. UFC had a card, Sacramento, UFC on Fox. It was a showcase for the young stars. Our predictions last week were trash. Let's start it off. Sage Northcutt gets choked out by Mickey Gall. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know enough about Mickey Gall. I thought Sage would outclass him on the feet, which in the first round, you know, it kind of went that way. But once again, Sage has no ground game. So
none. Zero ground game.
He ended up on the ground, and it was and he got clipped, and he did the Conor McGregor shoot for a takedown out of desperation, and it was the end for him.
Yeah, you know, the sad thing is he's the second highest paid person on this card, on 60-60. So it was like he got 60 grand to lose again. Sage Northcutt has a lot of work to do. I still wouldn't count the kid out yet, but he's average. He's a very average fighter. He's going back down lightweight, which probably is good for him.
Yeah, both his fights, by the way, both his losses at 170, that should be taken into account.
Yeah, but he clearly needs a jiu-jitsu coach because through his ground game is doo-doo. Like, he's just
he got to leave his pops at home. That's it. Go to a real gym. Leave Papa at home. Don't half-ass this anymore. Don't go to college and do this. Understand you want to be an engineer. School ain't going nowhere, my man. A fighting career is, this isn't built for half-timers. The UFC is not built for 20-year-olds. It's not easy, so you got to put in extra work if you want to be that great this young, and he's not putting in the extra work.
Yeah, he's got some work to do. And Gall, I mean, clearly he thinks he wants like top 15 guys. I don't know if he's ready for that yet, but it's clearly better than what I anticipated. Him running over a bunch of trash cans, I thought – you know, Northcutt was a little bit more seasoned, would give him some problems, but he didn't. So, kudos to Mickey Gall. I'd like to see what's next for him. I'm very interested to see where his career goes from here. He seems very solid. His ground game and his stand-up is pretty good. So, curious where this kid goes.
Yeah, I mean, he took the right steps. He left his house. He left his comfort zone. He went to TriStar. He has real training with real legit trainers. We'll see. His next fight's going to say a lot. It's interesting because they ended up not giving CM Punk a tuna can. The kid actually can fight.
Yeah. So he actually can fight. That's the interesting thing. So we found out that Gall is not like some guy here for Punk to run over and he just lost. Gall can fight.
Yeah, so this might help Punk more than it helps anyone else. Because I'd be like, yo, back to the drawing board. Let's actually get someone who's not that good. Because we ended up giving this guy a monster. So that's one takeaway from that fight. We see in the main event, Paige VanZant, the other young star on the card, Dance with the Stars, had a great knockout victory after that. She brought the star power, and Karate Hottie took it away.
Yeah, Waterson's serious. I mean, like I said, I thought the fight was a toss-up. I figured that Paige would have the better ground and pound, but Waterson just completely outclassed her. And, you know, I think she's more comfortable at strawweight. And she was an atomweight in Invicta, and she lost the fight there. But since, you know, the time off, nothing really mattered. Everything that Michelle Waterson thought she'd be if she was – active, she was, and she dominated Paige VanZant. Rose Namajunas called her out, which is a fight I actually would love to see. But you know, with Waterson, now you're in a situation where she only made $30,000 this fight, which kind of sucks because this ended up being the most watched UFC on Fox card since UFC on Fox 10, which is a big deal.
But it wasn't because of her though. Like, well, she left with a bigger name than she came in, but it was clearly because of Paige and Sage.
Well, yeah, Paige and Sage were the big draws, but still, you know, she's made a name for herself. And, I mean, let's be honest here. Like, Michelle Waterson, she's easy on the eyes as well. Like, Michelle Waterson could be a crossover star. If she was the champ of the strawweight division, she'd be a star. She's got opportunities. So I feel like they could be working towards something with her. She's talented on both the ground and on her feet, and she really showcased everything she had against Paige. Paige, clearly, she's not ready yet. You know, she may be ready in a couple of years, but Waterson called her green, and she was actually kind of right. She took advantage of her.
Yeah, and Paige is young. So this is one of the things she has to take, just like the Rose loss, and keep it moving and, you know, try to work her way back into the top five. She probably slides right out of it now. But she has time on her side. So she's only going to get better. She's only going to commit herself more. It's just the UFC thought the time was now for these two stars, and it's clearly not.
Yeah, I mean, this was, hindsight 2020. This was still a solid fight to put together with two young talents, two rising talents. I mean, Waterson's, I think she's almost 30.
Yeah.
You know, and she needed this opportunity, and Paige is the right person. Paige is ranked, I believe, 7. So you look at the strawweight division, and, you know, Waterson could make a dent. She could make a dent. Paige has to go back to the drawing board. It's going to be interesting to see who they match her up with next. Yeah, I mean, you can't match up with anybody like Claudia or Carolina. So it's like, I don't know where Paige necessarily goes from here.
Yeah, I mean, she has to just pick on maybe 6 through 10 in that division for a while. Because you don't want to shoot her confidence. That is the key. And understand she was good enough to beat those 6 through 10 ranges to earn and walk her way up in the division. But it's okay to slide her back down a little bit. Give her the confidence. Yeah. Let her win a couple fights. Uriah Faber is the other main fight on this card. The last we'll see of the California kid. And he looked great.
Yeah, I mean.
Dominant.
He almost finished off Brad Pitt in the first round. I mean, he's your favorite, man. I mean, losing to Jimmy Rivera, yeah, that sucked, and was probably the notice that Uriah needed. Was like, well, you know what? Probably done all I could do in the sport. I'm never going to be a world champion. But Uriah is still better than most of the bantamweights out there. So props to him as much as
– I can't believe he's walking away because he can still fight.
Yeah, but does he really want to? It's not like Uriah's hurting for cash. You know, he's doing well at Team Alpha Male. It's really time to step aside. He's done enough of this business, and he's put his body out there. It's like, for what at this point? Like, what are you fighting for? If you're not going to win a title, And you're right, favorite, because that's all that's really left is the one thing that's eluded you your entire career is a UFC title. So if you can't win it, just chill. You know, go see if Cody can bring one to the gym.
Yeah, but we saw even with Hendo. You know, you win two fights against people not even in the top five, and the UFC might throw you a bone.
Yeah, but nah.
As a last fight. Like, this just seemed a little premature. He didn't know when he'd just, you know, get another Dominic Cruz fight. Because why not?
I mean, they're not going to give him another Dominic Cruz fight. He's already lost to the dude twice. I mean, what's the point?
Or a Dillashaw fight, or they could have thrown him a bone still.
I just think he's made it. I think at a certain point in your life, when you realize that a world title is not in your cards, you just hang it up. You've made enough money. Why put your? Because I mean, it's not just a fight. It's training camp. Like guys don't want to go through training camp. That's not fun. Cutting weight and all that shit. At a certain point, you're just like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. It's not worth it. I've got enough money. And Uriah's at that point.
He's like got Floyd.
Yeah, you're tired of it. It's not that I don't think he's lost love for the game, but I think those aspects wear you down. And especially Uriah is like in his mid-30s, 37 maybe?
Yes.
It's time to go. What's the point of hanging around? This is clearly Dominic Cruz's division, and we'll see what happens next week with Cody Garbrandt. But he's so far from a title shot right now with Jimmy Rivera ahead of him, and it's like, shit, you know, Demetrius Johnson could jump into the bantamweight picture at any point. So it's like, just chill out. See what happens.
Ride into the sunset. We're actually going to talk about next week's UFC 207 card because next week our show is going to be predominantly about the awards. So we're actually going to preview that right now instead of doing so next week. Opening that up and taking a look. It's a good card. Should be exciting. Good matchups. Well-paired fights. Let's go and make a few predictions, I guess, and we'll preview it as the predictions go. On the FS1 prelim card, we'll just pick the main event, which is Johnny Hendricks versus Neil Magny.
Good Lord, I don't know what to think of Johnny Hendricks anymore.
I'm not sure if he makes the weight. Like, to be honest, like, I'm going to pick it, but I'll take Neil Magny. Johnny's about to be Johnny Bellator here in a second.
See, I don't know. I don't know. Like, Neil feels like he's gotten by on a few guys and, you know, lost to Lorenz Larkin. He almost got killed by Hector Lombard. So he could lose to if Hendricks fights the right fight. Like, Magny's not – he's long, rangy, but he's not like Wonder Boy. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Johnny Hendricks in this fight. Not with a ton of faith because Hendricks did get watched by Kevin Gastelum as well. But, this is a fight that both these guys need to win. But and I'm gonna say Hendricks needs a little bit more.
Okay, I'm still going to stick with Magny. It's just he wins these fights somehow. Like, the fights where he really shouldn't win, this is when he pulls it out. So I'll pick Magny to win this fight. The recently bumped up into the main card fight is Luis Smolka versus Ray Borg.
Yeah, Smolka, who lost to Brandon Moreno. I'm gonna pick Ray Borg here.
Flyweight, so odd to pick.
Because there's only one that matters. Both of them are coming. Like, I mean, Borg is coming off of a loss. Smolka lost Moreno. This is a tough fight to pick. But I'm gonna go with Borg. I mean, Borg, he just lost to Justin Scoggins. Needs a bounce back win. He's a solid fighter, so. I'm going to pick it by decision.
I'm surprised this got bumped up. Tim Means versus Alex Oliveira is on the UFC Fight Pass prelim card.
They want people to go to Fight Pass.
It's ridiculous. That's going to be one hell of a fight. In this one, though, I guess I'll go Ray Borg, too. This is the bathroom break. This is the equivalent of a 2014 women's match in the WWE.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? Stick around. We have good fights on the FS1 card. And then right when the pay-per-view starts, hit up Shake Shack, get your food. That's where we'll all be because this is the time. We don't want to miss anything after that.
Yeah, no, this car's loaded from this point.
Yep. Shake Shack break. The next fight, though, TJ Dillashaw versus John Lineker. I haven't seen TJ Dillashaw in a 3-round fight in forever.
Ooh, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to pick Dillashaw because I think Dillashaw is a more complete fighter. And I think Dillashaw will be smart enough to stay away from to game plan accordingly to stay away from John Lineker's power. So the more diverse striker, the footwork that, you know, eerily reminiscent of Dominic Cruz, should give him the edge to pull out a decision victory in three rounds. Dillashaw is built for five-round fights. The guy can go. Doesn't get tired. Lineker's a different case. So I'm going to go with Dillashaw, but I think it could be a hell of a fight. Because if Lineker does catch him, it could be lights out. I think Dillashaw will fight a smart enough fight.
Yeah, I'll pick TJ. I don't think TJ loses right now to anyone outside of the two people in the co-main event. So I have TJ, even though, you know, he did swagger jack Dominic Cruz, but if you're going to swagger jack anyone, he picked a pretty good person. I think he dances around. I'm not sure about the finish. TJ has finished, you know, just due to high output, has finished a good amount of his opponents. They just can't take the beating. But that's mostly, you know, over the course of five rounds. So in three, probably a decision, but I'm taking TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah.
Next one, heavyweight fight. Sneaky fight. Maybe fight of the night. The Fabricio Werdum Cain Velasquez rematch, which, what, just a year ago, year and a half ago, was a title fight.
Yeah, I'm picking Cain. There's no altitude to deal with here.
Back to the good old altitude.
Yeah, when Cain is on, Cain is the best heavyweight in the UFC, easily. So I think Cain will be on. Fabricio needs this win, but he proved to be vulnerable. Got knocked out by Stipe Miocic. The jiu-jitsu may be a big factor in this fight. Fabricio has much improved stand-up. That's always interesting to see. But I'm still going to go with Cain, that engine. And, you know, I think he'll fight a much smarter fight than he did in Mexico. So I'm picking Cain to win. And he might stop him. He might stop him.
Yeah, I'm picking Cain to win, and I think he knocks him out. Maybe some ground and pound. It won't be like a flash knockout. But I definitely like Cain in this situation. I like Cain against, like you said, any heavyweight. And any fighter probably outside of John Jones. And I think Cain winning definitely earns him a title shot as long as he can stay healthy, which in that camp, you never know. And I believe he said he scheduled a knee surgery already.
Yeah.
For after the fight. So, you know, Stipe has no problem waiting, it looks like. So we'll probably get that over the summer if Cain wins. But I expect Cain to win. Fabricio's still very good, but I'm not taking him in this rematch. Co-main event is next. Bantamweights, Dominic Cruz versus Cody. No love, Garbrandt. I'm going to just come out right away and say I'm picking Cody to knock Dominic Cruz out.
It's not happening.
If it goes past the second round, then cool. Dominic Cruz, he's winning the fight. I don't see it. I see Cody knocking him out in the second.
As far as master game planners are concerned, Dominic Cruz, especially sitting in that analyst seat for as long as he has, he gets a good look at these guys that nobody else gets a chance to see. And there's still holes in Cody Garbrandt's game that Dominic Cruz can take advantage of. There's a difference between what Dominic has seen and facing Cody versus what Cody's seen and facing Dominic. Cody's never seen anything like Dominic in the cage. And Dominic's seen pretty much everything that you've had to offer. So I don't see any way that Cody can win except by knockout, and I don't think he's going to catch him. I think Cody's going to be having an adrenaline dump. He's going to be a little bit overly passionate in this fight. He's going to try to go for the kill, not be able to get it, because I think Dominic's going to start taking him down early. You know, we know Dominic is a guy who likes to stand up with his footwork, but people forget Dominic's an excellent wrestler and who's known to ground guys with heavy hands. He did it to Benavidez in WEC. He's done it to multiple guys in the past.
Done it to Faber a couple of fights. Every time he got clipped by Faber, he took him down at will.
So I don't necessarily see Garbrandt being smart enough to beat Dominic Cruz in a five-round fight.
Dominic does get hit, though. Yeah, I mean, he gets hit. It's just hard to hit him clean. I guess that's the case, right? Because he'll get chipped or he'll kind of get hit by a punch but roll off of it because the movement's so sporadic. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. He is the best defensive fighter in the UFC. Maybe UFC history as far as defense is concerned. I don't know why. And it's hard to pick against Dominic Cruz because arguably he's the best fighter in the UFC right now. But I have to take Cody. It's a feeling more so than anything. I'm not shocked if Dominic Cruz just outclasses him, though.
Yeah, I have to do the smart pick here. I can't go with Cody.
can't go on a limb.
Nah, man, he beat Thomas Almeida.
2016 still, man. A lot of weird shit has happened this year. It ain't 2017 yet.
Yeah, I can't bet on weird shit. I got to bet on what I know. And Dominic Cruz is my number one pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC, and I'm not going to bet against him with Cody Garbrandt. Nope, not going to do it.
All right. Well, my theory is always, for the truly elite and the super great ones, a la John Jones, a la Dominic Cruz, the only way to beat them is to have flash one-punch knockout power, because you're not going to outclass them over five rounds.
Of course.
And Cody Garbrandt has flash one-punch knockout power. So if he doesn't do it, I don't see anyone else doing it. Main event, Ronda Rousey versus some chick with a belt. Because that's how it's been billed, right?
Pretty much.
They don't even put Amanda Nunes in promos. People ask me all the time, like, who's Ronda even fighting? I was like, that's a damn shame. Like, people honestly don't know.
They've done Amanda dirty. And they just released a little promo yesterday about Amanda, the UFC did. But it's like, come on, man. She's the champ. Give the champ a little bit of shine. I mean,
and they still haven't showed Ronda getting knocked out, by the way.
Yeah, it's like worst case scenario. Amanda wins and you've cut these promos. Okay, at least people now know who Amanda is. If she wins right now, people are going to be like, they're going to treat her like Buster Douglas. And she's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like how they've handled this promo at all. This is the main event, and it's billed as UFC 207, Ronda Rousey returns. And it's like, dude, just, you're putting a lot on Ronda. And I know that's your star and everything, but give her opponent some credit, please. Amanda deserves a lot more than that. She beat the girl who choked out the girl who head kicked the girl that she's fighting. So it's like, you know, give her some credence. I mean, she didn't come out of nowhere. She didn't just show up and win a title. They didn't hand her a belt. She headlined
UFC 200. So say what you want. Like, okay, it wasn't the truth. Brock Lesnar was the main event, but whatever. She headlined UFC 200 and won the title.
Yeah.
She deserves to be pushed. She's the champion.
Yeah. With all that being said, I'm picking Ronda Rousey, though. I don't think
Amanda. So am I.
Yeah. I don't think Amanda controls distance well enough to do what Holly Holm did. I think, you know, she fights in close quarters, and that's exactly where Ronda's wheelhouse is. If you get too close to her, she's going to grab you. And I don't think Amanda's takedown defense is going to be good enough to defend those hip tosses. Now, this is all saying that Ronda comes back being the same Ronda who she was before. I have no idea what Ronda's going to show up in this fight because, you know, when the aura of invincibility, for some people, when it's shattered, like Muhammad Ali, they rise. Others, like Mike Tyson, they get shattered, they fall. I don't know which side of the fence that Ronda's going to be on. But I'm going to err on the caution of, I think she's a better fighter. I think if she sticks to what she knows, she'll win this fight via armbar. If she does some dumb shit and tries to throw hands, she's going to sleep.
No, I agree. I'm picking Ronda. I couldn't have said it better myself. For the exact same reasons you're picking Ronda, it's that Amanda, even when she finishes people, she rushes in. And she has to be in close quarters, and it's kind of like a real barrage. She doesn't finish people from distance, and Ronda's going to take advantage of that. All it takes is one judo throw. I've seen Amanda be handled on the ground previously, so people may say her wrestling's good or her size helps, but I think Ronda has a distinct ground advantage. So I'm picking Ronda by armbar, taking a throwback.
Yeah, sure.
So that's UFC 207. That's UFC in a nutshell. We rambled on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to hit up a little bit of boxing and then finish it off with WWE. So you guys stay tuned. Listen, fill out the survey, please. Help out the show. We'll be right back. Listen up. Because we need help putting out the show that you love for free every week, giving it free to the people. Now we know nobody likes filling out surveys, but we really need you to do it. It won't take you more than 5 minutes, and besides helping out the show, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $100 iTunes gift card. You know what I can do with $100 on iTunes? I'm living life large on iTunes with that, and you guys get that just for helping us out. We know some of you may have already done surveys like this in the past, but we really need you to log in and fill this thing out as accurately as possible.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, once we know more about you, we'll be able to deliver the show and the sponsors you dream about. Finding sponsors who are a good fit means we get to give you the deals and information, the brands you care about, while keeping this show free to enjoy every week. Free to enjoy every week. It means you don't have to pay to subscribe for nothing. All right? And if you don't care about helping us and making the show better, do it for the chance to win a free iTunes or Amazon.com gift card. Right? You know, like, do it for free. Do it for the gifts. If there's not, you know, just think about it. If there's not that many of you doing it, there's a better chance to win. So please, do us this solid and go to thecornersurvey.com. Once again, that's thecornersurvey.com. Do that. Keep the lights on for us. Let us cater to what you need. You know, you can tell us what you like and what you don't like, and then we can keep it all funky and knock this thing out.
I know the Corner Club got our back. You guys are going to fill out that survey. We're going to get more ads. We're going to be bringing you this for free for a long, long time. So shout out to y'all. What up, everyone? We are back. Thank you guys for taking time out to do the survey and sticking with us through that little break. Time to talk boxing. Not much happened in boxing this past weekend. Really didn't miss much. But there's been a couple big announcements. Triple G versus Jacobs. Finally done.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was going to happen. This fight, people might scream blasphemy, but I feel like this fight is actually better than the Canelo fight. And people are going to say I'm crazy, but...
I would say you're crazy.
I'm saying in terms, like, I know why people are excited about the Canelo fight because what Canelo's done, but people, like, underestimate what Danny Jacobs has done. Like, Danny Jacobs has the second highest knockout percentage in the middleweight division. Danny Jacobs has knocked out everybody since returning from the little cancer scare he had. I think he has 12 straight knockouts. Destroyed Peter Quillin, which people thought was a good fight. Just ran over Sergio Mora in their rematch. And he's got heavy hands. I'm not picking Jacobs to win. Like, just like I'm not picking Canelo to win. But I think that Danny Jacobs might be better than Canelo. So this is going to be a hell of a fight. And I'm glad they made this happen because now people can stop saying Golovkin's been fed cans. This is a legitimate middleweight.
This is not like a junior middleweight. No, it's like this damn near unifies the belts, right? WBA, WBC, IBO. No, we're missing one. WBO?
Billy Joe Saunders has the other title. Oh. And the one that Jacobs has is the WBA regular, which is nothing. Like, Gennady's the actual – he's the champ. It just makes him the mandatory. But, this is a true middleweight fight. There is no I'm 154. There's no catchweight. Like, these are 260-pounders who can bang that are about to fight. People are going to look at Danny Jacobs' one loss to Dmitry Pirog and say, oh, well, he's lost. Well, I mean, talking to Jacobs and being around Jacobs and seeing what he's gone through in his life, yeah, he was at a rough patch in his life. His grandmother died the week before the fight. His head wasn't in the game that night, and everybody that was around him could see it. That was one loss. Since then, he's just washed everybody. So this is going to be a hell of a fight. It's on pay-per-view. I'm considering making the trip to New York because I really want to see this fight.
Definitely. They didn't release a date, have they?
It's March. They did release a date.
Oh, March 18th.
Yeah.
So that is St. Patrick's Day. Or St. Patrick's Day weekend?
I think it is.
Yeah, that is going to be insane. I would probably make the trip, too, if I wasn't gearing up for a WrestleMania trip. I still might. Who knows? Because that's one, like you said, it was one hell of a fight. So it'd be great to be in attendance in Madison Square Garden. Triple G, once again, if he wins this, it's Canelo or nothing.
Well, yeah. And I mean, there's, like I said, people have said that Gennady hasn't fought anybody. This is really somebody. And I hope they play it right and show what Jacobs has done up until this point. I followed Jacobs since his pro debut, which I believe was on the undercard of Mayweather Hat, which I was at. And I've seen a majority of his fight. Well, not a majority. I've seen a lot of Danny Jacobs fights live. When I was in New York, I saw him fight. I saw him fight when he was in Vegas. I'm a fan of Danny Jacobs. I think he's an excellent talent. He has a great backstory. I hope they don't run the cancer thing into the ground like they've usually done. But, dude, he's legit.
You have one hell of a memory because it was on the undercard of Mayweather Hatton, December 8, 2007.
Yeah. I remember seeing him because I remember Oscar playing him up and saying he's going to be the next big thing, da-da-da. And they kind of carried it wrong, not to say slowly, but, you know, he was just watching people. And it wasn't even close. And the Pirog fight was just a bad night for him. But since then, he's just running over everybody. Like, the Quillin knockout was the one that certified it. Like, people thought Peter Quillin was, you know, the truth. You know, he had that he was going to be the next big thing in middleweight. And, dude, Danny came in there and destroyed him.
One round. So worked him.
Yeah, made it quick. So this is going to be a hell of a fight. I'm really looking forward to it.
We also had the announcement Deontay Wilder's coming back as well. Excited to see Wilder, or is everything now just about Anthony Joshua?
No, I'm excited to see Wilder because I want to see if he polishes his game. Like I said, I think he is a raw talent. And there are a lot of things that he does that I feel like he can be sloppy at times. He overcommits on his punches at times. If he tightens up those things, I don't know if anybody can beat him. He just hasn't done so yet. Somebody's going to have to force him to tighten it up. So I'm always excited to see Deontay Wilder fight. I like him. I think he's a great talent. I think he's good for the heavyweight division. Right now, I don't think he's the best heavyweight, but I think, you know, he could fine tune his game in the next year or so. He could have all the polish, be great defensively, and be the top heavyweight in boxing. So anytime he fights, I'm here to see it.
With that being said, boxing kind of comes to a close for 2016. We won't have boxing until 2017, I believe.
Yeah, well, you got to talk about how it closed. What did we see to close out our 2016 year in boxing? A 51-year-old man getting knocked out the ring.
I forgot about that. There was boxing this weekend. Damn, man. Hopkins, I hate it had to be you, bro. That is not the way to slide into retirement, right? Nope. I thought he killed him. That was one hell of a fall. That was steep. No one grabbed him either. Like, there was people around. Like, no one could just lend a hand.
Nah, nobody was ready. And, it kind of happened, like I said. Joe Smith was a more active fighter. When you're more active against Bernard Hopkins, you give him less opportunities to counter, or you give him less opportunities to pose and posture, you can win the fight. And Joe Smith did exactly that. And Bernard had a great career. Kudos to you. But stop saying stupid shit like you got shoved out of the ring by a frustrated guy that you're going to end up beating. That's not what happened. You got your ass caught, and your ass fell out the ring, and you weren't going to win this fight.
There was no shove.
No, he got caught. He got caught off balance. I don't know if he was necessarily hurt when he got hit. He was hurt when the back of his head hit the damn concrete, but, yo, you lost. There's no excuse. Don't say that Joe Smith got frustrated and he shoved you out the ring. That's not what happened. Bernard always has an excuse for every fight he's lost. The Jermaine Taylor fight, Joe Calzaghe fight. He's always got an excuse. There was no excuse on this night. You lost. You're 51 years old. The younger man got you. Joe Smith has actually proven that he might be a legit light heavyweight. He destroyed Fonfara, who beat Chavez. So we might see a lot more of this guy around, you know, sooner than later. The light heavyweight division is kind of interesting with Kovalev and Ward there. So maybe you got a contender in Joe Smith Jr.
Which would be great, just to get some new blood in the mix. Andre Ward will need another foil if he decides to stay, because that's also
he's not there. He's going to stay. He's got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, he has no other enticing matchups. So no. We'll see how that plays out. Probably a rematch for those two, though. With the year closing out, no time better than to put together our pound-for-pound list of 2016. To end the year, who would be your pound-for-pound fighters in boxing?
I've been wavering back and forth between Roman Gonzalez and Andre Ward because Ward beat Kovalev. But I guess I'm going to have to stick with Chocolatito being number one, Ward being number two. I guess I have to put Kovalev three because a lot of people don't think he lost that fight.
I was about to say, how far are you going to slide Kovalev?
I can't slide him that far. That's the thing. A lot of people thought he won that fight. And it's funny because I think in the rematch, Ward will probably win the rematch because I think he's got him figured out. But until then,
to me, it's more fatigue than anything.
Yeah. Well, so Kovalev number three. And then it gets dicey because I don't know there's Golovkin number four. And then I don't know if it's going to be Crawford number five or Lomachenko. Lomachenko is the most talented of the bunch. But he hasn't fought enough proven competition like Terrence Crawford has. As of right this very moment, if you put a gun to my head, I'm going to put Terrence Crawford at number five. And I'm going to put Lomachenko at six. I'm going to put him right outside the top five.
My five, very similar at the top. Chocolatito is number one. It's not even that close to me. Ward will have to be two, even though I believe Kovalev won that fight. Sergey would be three, just because that's how the judges decided that it went. Four is where it gets tough. Just like you said. So four, I guess I'll have to put Triple G at 4, like you did. 5, I would still, I understand Crawford. I understand Lomachenko, but I would probably have to go with Keith Thurman.
Really?
At 5, yeah. He's fought better at the top. He has a better win this past year than either of those other two fighters.
Against Sean Porter?
Yep.
I love Sean, but
Sean's better than anyone Crawford fought last year or Lomachenko fought.
No.
It's just the truth of it. What opponent is better than
I mean, Nicholas Walters was undefeated and washed Nonito Donaire and Victor Chin.
Yeah.
And he quit. And Lomachenko made him quit. Keith Thurman had a hard fight with Sean Porter. Not an easy fight.
And that's what I wanted to see from him. I wanted to see that hard fight. See him get, you know, taken into deep water. See how he was going to react. He came back in that fight. I have to put one time at 5.
There's no way.
And the Danny Garcia win, and I'm chalking it up as a win already, will solidify that spot.
Yeah.
I got to put him at 5.
I can't put him ahead of Terrence Crawford. Like, how could you put him ahead of Terrence Crawford?
Same reason I said. His win last year was better than either of those two wins.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I have to put him 5.
That is insane.
And it's close. I mean, I'm splitting hairs here. But if I had to go, it's like, who had the best win out of... Because those are my... Terrence Crawford, Lomachenko, Keith Thurman, what, Joshua? Probably rounding out, that'd be 9. And
You don't have Guillermo Rigondeaux in there?
Rigondeaux is probably ahead of Joshua, by the way. So that's 10. That's 10 right there. Rigondeaux isn't in the conversation with these guys, though. So if I got to go 5 through, what, 7... It's a toss-up between these guys, and what wins it out for Keith Thurman, in my mind, is he fought the toughest opponent and won. So I understand style points for Lomachenko, but I'm not there yet. I don't think the opponent was as good as a Sean Porter. Sean Porter lost one fight, and Danny Garcia held him the whole fucking fight. So, by the way, Sean Porter is not a slouch. The Garcia fight aside, Sean Porter is... world class. So,
he's not top 10. He wasn't like
Walters was top 10.
He wasn't,
Walters wasn't top 10 either.
But no, Nicholas Walters. But what I'm saying, like, we're talking about the eye test here. Like, Lomachenko is more talent than just about everybody on this list, and I don't think it's even debatable.
No,
because we've seen it.
Not debatable.
Terrence Crawford beat Victor Postol, who was ranked just outside of the top 10, pound for pound. Like, Porter wasn't there. I can't put Keith Thurman ahead of Carl Frampton, who beat Leo Santa Cruz this year.
Ooh.
Like, I can't. Thurman isn't in my top 10.
Thurman's in my top 10. Well, obviously, Thurman's at 5. That's rough, though. No love for Keith Thurman. Does the Garcia win change that for you?
Yes. The Garcia win does change that for me. He cracks my top 10 with that. But I think, right now, I think he's ranked just outside of my top 10.
That's fair.
But 5 is just way too high because he's looked vulnerable against Luis Collazo. He got hurt
with one punch to the body. Correct.
But he got hurt, and that's all that matters. Like, Terrence Crawford, when has Terrence Crawford been in trouble?
Not yet.
Like, he dragged Uriah Gamboa, and that was a good fight.
Yeah.
And Victor Postol, it made him look easy.
I would say Crawford has spurts of inactivity where he looks lackadaisical, never in trouble. And then he always hits that point in the fight where a flip is, like, the switch is flipped, and he gets really offensive and gets really good really fast. That'd be my only knock on Crawford, which isn't really a knock. It's just, you know, he doesn't have to get hit to turn the switch on. I don't know why. Maybe he's just a slow starter. It takes a second for him to warm up.
Like, okay. I mean, you're staying on subject with Keith Thurman. Remember Keith Thurman's head after he fought Robert Guerrero? Like, I'm just saying, Keith Thurman, as good as he's been, hasn't scored a knockout in quite some time. And he hasn't turned in dominant performances either.
3 fights.
Terrence Crawford has turned in dominant performances against great competition. Vasyl Lomachenko did the same thing.
Lomachenko, I'm still not putting ahead of him because it's still really early. Lomachenko, yes, Walters was a great fight. That was probably his first evenly matched fight. But I understand the potential. The potential is there. Potential to be a top 3 fighter in the world is there. I just have to see it, so I can't put him at five. Crawford, you can probably, you made one hell of a case. So the Postal win was huge. Crawford, okay, can jump into five. You made a good case. So, all right, Crawford five, Thurman six. But that's it. That's as far as he slides on my list.
No, you can have it. I can't put Thurman ahead of Guillermo Rigondeaux. As boring as Rigondeaux is,
I boring
can't put
Thurman ahead of him. I got to do it. Sorry. I can't go to sleep on fights and put you in my top five.
Nah.
Okay. Yeah, listen, defense wins championships, but it doesn't put butts in the seats. I can't do it. So that's our list. I'm sure people are going to be like, what? And have tons of talking points and going to hit us up about that. But right now, we're going to break because we got to come back. We got to talk wrestling. We'll talk about our NXT experience over the weekend where I got Andrea sick. So stay tuned. Quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. Before we continue to talk more combat sports, we got to give another thanks to Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses combine two technologies, springing latex foam and supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface. Have y'all ever slept on memory foam? It's like floating on air. It's that great. And this is how we get our sleep. So you guys make sure that you check it out. Casper Mattresses are made in the USA and have free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Shout out to the Great North. You can buy your Casper mattress easy online, and it's completely risk-free.
Look, dude, you spend like a third of your life sleeping, and Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress before you commit. Look, so if you aren't satisfied with the Casper mattress, you got a 100-day period. Yeah, that's right, 100 days. You know, like 100 days of sleeping? By about that time, I think I know if I like my mattress. So get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. And you can save an additional $50 towards your Casper mattress by going to Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code The Corner. That's Casper.com/the corner. Promo code The Corner to save $50 towards your Casper purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Look, again, man, I like to sleep, and these things are for real.
What up, everybody? Welcome back. Shout out to the sponsors once again. Keeping the show running, keeping the show free for you guys every week. Remember, once again, next week is our award show, not a normal show, so we'll be handing out our Corner Podcast Awards for Best Fight of the Year, Best Wrestling Match, Biggest Upset, etc., 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 so make sure you guys tune in for that. It's going to be a great show. Also, hooking up, once again, for the second year in a row, our podcast Corner Ciphers, which are going to be dope, better than the BET Award Ciphers this year. I'm just calling it already. Last year's were great. Great to see everyone coming back out. Tons of support already. People hopping in, ready to show off their rhyming skills. You know, I don't know. Maybe they think Andreas Hale is listening or something, which is dope. You know, you might catch the ear of Andreas Hale. If he says you're dope, that means you're dope. So once again, thanks to all those people. Make sure you guys tune in for that. Now we got to talk wrestling. We were at NXT, probably saw the best wrestling of the weekend, one hell of a card for a house show. It was kind of empty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say I was too surprised, but I was kind of surprised.
It's a big venue.
Yeah, to put it at Mandalay Bay, I thought was, they could have done it somewhere else and got away with it. Like, they could have done, like, the Cosmo or the Palms, but obviously those aren't, like, wrestling venues, so... I guess, I mean, it's fine. It's fine. It wasn't a full house. Unfortunately, that's the way these things go. But the crowd was still lively.
Yeah, the crowd was dope. All the chants were there. Once again, Andreas Hale was big time. We were like, yo, yeah, cool. We're all sitting. Like, we all got decent seats. We're hanging out. And, like, 2 hours before the show, Andreas walks up like, yo, someone left me, like, dope tickets. And then he gets in there, and he's ringside.
Yeah.
First row.
Like, right in the corner.
Nakamura damn near gave him Nakamura hands and then hit a crazy spot outside the ring. Like, he was right there.
It was good seats.
I believe it. This guy is so big time, just quietly stunting on the world. But no, a great show. Match tonight was probably Ember Moon versus Asuka. Can't wait for their program. They're just getting started. And finally, someone can keep up with Asuka.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like, you know, when you see the fun thing about house shows, you get to watch talent work because they're working on something bigger. So it's like practice. So it's like this, it's like a live scrimmage, and you could see that these two were working, working out some different spots, different finishes, and when they finally do clash, it's going to be a big deal. Unfortunately, and I only say unfortunately because I can't really see what the WWE has planned for WrestleMania. But if they're going to do this at Royal Rumble in January, their Royal Rumble weekend, I don't know. I guess they run it back for WrestleMania because there's, dude, NXT is barren. Like, they have no women to compete with either of those two right now.
They have to run it back. I wouldn't mind seeing another Iron Woman match between these two. The second NXT one. Even I know.
No more Iron Women matches. No more.
Oh, come on. Don't be sour. Don't be sour. It's not bad. I like the Iron Woman match. They made Bay bleed. We'll talk about that here in a second. And people were talking about her weave and such. It ain't built to last for 30-minute matches. It ain't how weave works, people. These two women definitely stole the show. What else did we have? We had a great tag match between DIY and The Revival.
Oh, that was a really good match. Yeah. Sooner or later... I keep looking and I'm like, yo, when is Ciampa going to turn a heel? Every time I look at him, I'm like, dude, the people watch him in the indies, he's a heel. He's a heel guy. And Gargano seems like a guy who can have like an intercontinental title run in the WWE.
He's definitely going to hold that cruiserweight belt sooner than later.
Yeah, like they're going to split up sooner than later. But as of right now, I'm perfectly fine with them being a tag team because their chemistry is excellent.
Definitely. Put on quality matches. So that was good. Main event was Shinsuke Nakamura versus Bobby Roode with Samoa Joe on the side watching and interfering.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that they're going to move towards the Nakamura-Roode thing, Battle of the Entrances. I've said it before. I just feel like Roode's a main roster talent. Like, him holding the NXT title doesn't make any sense to me. And that's just because his presentation is so... set for the big stage. Like, everything about him is screams main roster. But, you know, there's really no other feud for Nakamura. If Joe's gonna move up eventually, maybe it's the Royal Rumble. I have no idea when Joe makes his main roster debut, but Nakamura's gonna have to feud with somebody. And it's gonna have to be Bobby Roode. It's gonna be interesting to see, with like looking far ahead, like after WrestleMania in 2017, who's in NXT? That's because if Nakamura can't be there much longer either, like he's got maybe about 6 months left before he's gone. So if Nakamura, Joe, and Roode are gone, who is the top guy?
Good question. They were counting on Itami coming back, which the injuries are just
is cooked,
piling up.
He's done.
Yeah. So that was rough. Man, I can't even answer that, right? Like, maybe if Adam Cole comes over, which is speculated, but there's no hardcore proof of that. But then again, at this time, a year ago, we didn't have hardcore proof yet of Nakamura and Styles coming over.
No, we didn't.
So they have a couple weeks. Who knows who they can swing it and bring in? Didn't they just bring in an ROH guy?
Well, they brought, man, I can't even think right now.
Why don't I remember his name?
I can't remember who. I mean, they brought in Roddy Strong. They brought in.
Oh, Roddy Strong. Yes. No, definitely. There's
somebody else came
in.
He's
too, in the tournament for the title chase. It looks like Roode will probably win it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of that, No Way Jose, I guess, could get a push. Dillinger, I expect to be gone. Once again, if he's not the 10th entrant in the Royal Rumble, they've botched the entire storyline. Because once it hits 10 and his music counts down, and he does it, oh man, the place would go nuts. So I don't know. I don't know who is left. That is a very good question. But none of the guys at the top right now, outside of Samoa Joe, was there last year. Austin Aries, I believe, can carry the company a little bit. Not to the extent that we've seen Joe and Nakamura do, though. So, Roode wasn't there last year. Knock wasn't there last year. These are the top guys. So, they have plenty of time. They'll bring in someone else in trips we trust. This is really what it is.
Look at somebody.
Yeah. the men's side isn't as troubling as who they bring in as far as a woman is concerned. True. Because I'm not sure. They have a lot of women talent in-house. I'm not sure anyone outside of Ember Moon is really ready or will be ready at any point in time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's rough. And I expect Ricochet to sign, by the way, to WWE sooner rather than later. But I don't think he could be on television until June. So that really doesn't help anything. Like, what, that's 2 months after Mania? He's probably the star of the next CWC?
They put a lot on Ibushi, man.
That's another thing that kind of whacked him out that a lot of people aren't talking. They put a lot behind Kota in that CWC build, and he didn't sign.
No.
And the part-time deals and all that stuff, I don't think that is something they accounted for. They didn't account for someone saying no. And yeah, he could have been a star. Same thing with your boy, Zack Sabre Jr. Where it's like, yo, these two are really good. They're more than cruiserweights. We can bring them in. We can give them a character. And nah, and they didn't sign. That's rough. Those are two guys that really could have helped.
It's true. I mean, I'm sure they'll figure something out, but I have to wait and see. I mean, I have no idea who's coming up in free agency in ROH. Maybe there's another TNA guy who's lurking around they could bring in.
They're just robbing TNA blind at this point.
Yeah, I really don't know. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yo, what'd you think about Total Nonstop Deletion? Before we get too far.
Totally stupid. I still haven't finished watching it because I can't.
I watched the whole shit. It was bananas, and I still don't understand what I watched.
Like, oh my, like, I've only got, like, the match with the chick in the drone. Oh my God, what is going, like, I was like, what is going on? Matt Hardy's son.
Maxon?
In the Mercedes with the shade. I'm like, this is so ridiculous.
No, the final match is still bananas. Like,
I gotta watch, I haven't watched it yet. Every time I start watching, I'm like, I can't watch this shit.
Just tag teams just running, and out of nowhere, they get kicked out of the gymnasium indoor thing, and they end up fighting outside for a long time. The dilapidated boat makes an appearance. Saves Matt Hardy at one point. It's crazy. I don't know. The Hardys end up wrestling fucking Rock and Roll Express, like actually wrestling.
It's
kind of ridiculous. The Total Deletion was great. This might be a step too far. I think we've now reached where it's overly bizarre. Just for the sake of being bizarre. And it no longer makes sense. Let's talk about the other main wrestling thing from the weekend. WWE Roadblock. I didn't mind it. You disliked it strongly. We talked about this a little bit in our group chat. We have to bring it to the podcast. Why are you hating on it, Andreas? Like, it
wasn't a good show. Like, it was, like, the finishes were terrible.
Finishes were horrible.
Except the only match, and even though the New Day lost the titles to Cesaro and Sheamus, which I thought it's really peculiar that when you break a record and you lose the title, like, 3 days later, that's kind of stupid to me.
But they went with it anyway. Yeah.
But aside from that, this card was just not good. Like, Rollins and Jericho was a Monday night. Like, this was Sunday night Raw. Rollins and Jericho was a Raw match. Nothing special there. Owens and Reigns was a Raw match. Owens carried that match, and then we had a stupid finish. The Iron Woman match, I don't like the pacing. I don't like that you know for the next 20 minutes not a lot is going to happen. And then there's gonna be a frantic push in the last 5 minutes. And I completely hated.
But they had falls continuously through the 30 minutes.
Yeah, but it wasn't. But you knew what it was gonna be. Like all Iron Man matches are the same.
I mean, Charlotte went up by one, and then it's like, okay, cool. Like Sasha needs two back to back, and then Sasha picks up the next two pretty quick.
You didn't see that coming.
They usually end in a 1-1 tie or like 2-1 at the very end. It went one, and then Sasha's back up 2-1. And then Charlotte ties it last second, which I kind of saw coming at that point. And I was like, Sasha taps like right before the bell, which is still a great spot. I don't care if people say, oh, that's predictable.
That is a horrible spot.
And then overtime was kind of like whatever, and Bay was bleeding and all that shit. It was kind of a throwback.
I have to stop you. That Sasha Banks tap with like 2 seconds left was horrible. The reason why it was horrible was because she had been in that figure four for 2 minutes and was looking at the clock constantly. And Charlotte was looking at the clock constantly to the point where she was like, okay, I know in the last 10 seconds I'm going to have to bridge this figure four to the figure eight and to get the tap. It was too predictable. It was like to hold the figure four for that long and then tap with like 2 seconds left. Dude, just hold out for another 2 seconds.
That's true. I guess she could have tapped a little bit early. It was in there quite long.
I don't like spots like that. Like, I don't – when things like that happen, I think it's stupid. And I thought the way that they handled this was really stupid. And because otherwise, if these two just had a match, a 2 out of 3 falls match, for instance, where everybody knows it's going to be one fall apiece, and then it's going to be whoever wins the last fall, this, it would have been better. But the time really – it hurts their match. I've never watched an Iron Man – the only Iron Man match I think I can remember that I really, really enjoyed was – I think it was Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar on SmackDown.
Wow. Like a weekly. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't remember too many Iron Man matches that I, like, watched and was like, this is fun to watch all the way through.
So you didn't like the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels?
No. Like, go back. Dude, I'll never watch that match again. Ever.
The pacing in that was a little slow. Now, that one I'll give you. That was
dreadful. It's all, like, Iron Man matches are all about the finish. That's all they're really about. Because everything that happens up to that point, because there's a time limit, you know it's not going to be anything surprising. And you know, like, you know a pinfall is going to happen without a finisher. Yep. Somewhere in the match, it's going to be like a roll-up or some shit like that. Like, the finishers are saved to that last – because everybody is frantically looking for those pins in those last 2 minutes. I just didn't like how this match was booked. The blood helped. The blood helped a lot.
Yeah, you never see women bleed.
Yeah, I mean, it's inadvertent, the blood help, but other than that, it just, it didn't do it. Like, I was just not a fan of this match.
And they didn't stop it like they did Samoa Joe versus fucking Finn Balor.
Right.
Like, they let her bleed. Like, it was cool. It was dope. Like I said, I just argue that it's not a bad pay-per-view because I enjoyed the wrestling from the start to right before the finish in a lot of these matches.
I did not.
And then every finish sucked.
Like, I didn't enjoy the Cruiserweight match. I thought the finish was abrupt. It was kind of weird how they super kicked the Brian Kendrick, and then Swan just turns to TJ. It was like, hey, I'm going to kick you too. And then the match is over.
It was a quick match. So 6 minutes now that I look at it, that's definitely not enough.
And then Neville, the only thing that was great was Neville finally doing what I've been praying for him to do, is come and turn heel and destroy the Cruiserweight. I need him to destroy Brian Kendrick as well, but I guess not, because you got to have a heel friend. But that's something.
Heel friends are important, man. That's the way of the WWE. You can't be a solo heel anymore. Look at Kevin Owens.
Right.
All heels need friends. The Kevin Owens match, Roman Reigns, they performed well. The Kevin. Frog splash spots were great. And then the ending sucked.
Yeah, I mean, a DQ finish. And that, how particular? Like, you knew the match couldn't end until you had Jericho come down.
Yeah, and somehow they're still keeping Reigns super, super strong. And I dislike that. People are booing him. He has a belt that he doesn't even defend. I don't understand what the hell they're doing with Roman Reigns. Shout out to you guys at Champions for writing a pretty good article on it's time for Roman Reigns to turn heel or get the hell out of here.
Yeah, because it's pretty ridiculous at this point. Like, what's the point of – it's like the U.S. title is like a trinket that he just carries around. He doesn't even defend it anymore. And none of it makes sense. Like, why is he even involved? Thank God for Braun Strowman on Monday Night Raw. But other than that, what was the point?
And Strowman looks great, by the way.
Yeah, it's just like – he's King Zane, Hippo.
Yeah, him versus Zane was a good way of, I guess, handling that match.
It was stupid.
At the end, it dragged on, like the Mick Foley coming out and Zayn crawling. That killed 2 minutes right there.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn only survived 8 minutes. But Braun Strowman still looked strong, I guess. And then Raw, we just see him just fucking wreck people.
Yeah, but like I said, he's King Hippo. Then, you know, as soon as they figure out his weakness, he's going to lose a bunch of matches. Until then, he's going to beat everybody. The first person that beats him, the domino falls, like Monster Heels always lose.
I think... your prediction of him versus Roman Reigns, was it yours? Somebody's prediction of him versus Roman Reigns at Mania is coming to fruition.
Yeah, it's a long way out, though. For them to start it now,
No, they're just planting the seeds, putting him kind of in the main event picture with Roman, and then Roman probably eliminates him at the Rumble.
If I had to take a guess. Yeah, I'm completely lost on who wins the Royal Rumble.
That's amazing this year, right? Because we have no clue.
I mean, if it's not Finn Balor, I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't. What, Taker, you said?
No, Taker's not going to be in the Rumble. I figured that either Undertaker's going to be involved with – this is my prediction. I figure that Undertaker and John Cena will be involved in the match. Who's a champion? I don't know. Maybe John Cena is going to challenge AJ Styles to Rumble, get the title back, and then Undertaker's going to say the title of this or whatever, and these two are going to finally wrestle. Because it hasn't happened. Undertaker and John Cena haven't wrestled each other since – it's been like a decade.
Yeah. Badass Taker, right?
Yeah. It wasn't even – a long time ago.
Yeah, it wasn't even Dark Man Taker.
Yeah, this was heel rapper Cena. So it's been a long time since these two have fought. But – anyway, back to Roadblock. I didn't enjoy this card, except for the tag team match, which I thought was handled really well with the finish, with the Cesaro fake out, who was like, if this guy, come on, WWE's got to cut this shit out. When are you going to give Cesaro a real push? He's too good.
He could definitely be Roman Reigns for that title. At least give him a U.S. title push. Yeah. Shit. Something.
They got to get this figured out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But at least they gave him a belt. Talking about the belt, they changed it on Monday Night Raw.
Red belts.
Looking like a Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah. Kind of, I don't care about that.
Yeah, so new belts, but I wasn't a fan of the copper, so it is what it is. Royal Rumble, like we said, is coming up. Don't know what to expect from that. What do you want to see change in 2017? If you had to pick, like, one thing you want changed in 2017 in the WWE is what?
The brand split.
You want to get rid of it already?
Hell yeah. Reset. It just needs a hard reset. Like, it needs a hard reset. And like I said before.
So you want another draft, not to get rid of it?
I want another draft, but I want them to, the women go to one roster and the tag teams go to the other. And I know that's going to, people are like, well, why can't you have women on both sides? Because you don't need them. There's not enough. Just like there's not enough tag teams to have two shows. Like, you look at the tag team division on SmackDown. Now that Zack Ryder's blown out his knee, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, Alpha has to get the push earlier than anticipated.
Like, it's all pointless. Everything they're doing, it just doesn't make sense. I'm not, like, if you ask me that's the one thing that needs to change.
My one thing that needs to change is the frequency in pay-per-views.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you get rid of the brand split, that would help. There's too many. You're right about that.
I just want, one Raw for that month, 2 month build, another Raw pay-per-view, 2 months build, another, and so on and so forth. You have four major pay-per-views that you can kind of plan stuff around. So 4 months are taken. That leaves 8 months left. So that'd be equally split between SmackDown and Raw. So Raw would have four exclusive pay-per-views. SmackDown would have four exclusive pay-per-views. And then the brands would have four together, which is enough.
Yeah.
And two-month builds would help at least establish characters and feuds. And it works in NXT, man. It works in NXT. It works in every other promotion. ROH, New Japan. New Japan has, what, three-month builds?
Yeah, it's... I understand the episodic thing. I understand why you have to have Raw and SmackDown. I just don't understand the need for these multiple pay-per-views. I don't get it.
Yeah, especially when they piggyback.
Yeah, like when you have Roadblock and TLC like 2 weeks apart and then Royal Rumble, it's hard to really build towards anything. The direction of the WWE right now is – but I said it as soon as SummerSlam ended. I was like, we're entering this phase where it's going to be really bad.
Until Rumble.
It happens like this every year. And unfortunately, this Kevin Owens experiment has led him to be another chicken shit heel. Like, he's no better than Seth Rollins was.
Yeah.
And, and I really hate it because I think I think he's worse because I don't think he's won a championship match on his own yet.
Well, it took Seth a long time. J&J Security fucking carried him for a year, right?
Something like that.
Something stupid. But, it's no different. Hopefully they let him go over clean on someone here soon. Him and Jericho legit have to break up. Once again, they say Jericho's going on tour with Fozzy, so.
Dude, they're breaking up. At this point, this is the WrestleMania match. It will be Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho. Like, at this point, it's guaranteed. Because
that's kind of an ugly match.
It might not be. I mean, because.
But what do you do with Finn? The match has to be Kevin Owens versus Kevin Finn Balor.
Kevin Owens is not going to have the title.
Oh, okay. He's dropping.
As much as I'd like to see him have the title, like the only other way is if.
No, he's going to have the title. Who else is going to have the title?
I don't know.
Rollins is the only person in a program with him, and Rollins versus Triple H is going to be the program.
Dude, I don't know. Like I said, I really don't know what's going to happen because, you know, they could go with the underdog story. Maybe Sami Zayn wins the Royal Rumble. I honestly don't know what they're going to do with this. So crazy. If Jericho can win the Royal Rumble and challenge Kevin Owens for the title, that's possible. Balor, if he's healthy, if he's ready, he comes back and he wins and challenges Owens and maybe a three-way match with Jericho. I don't know, but I feel like there's much work if they put into Owens and Jericho. The breakup is so big that it can't be minimalized to some Rudy Poo candy ass pay-per-view. It has to be at WrestleMania. That's the next major pay-per-view. I don't think it'll be too soon to do it at the Rumble. The gears to breaking them up would have to start really churning at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Or after that, or Elimination Chamber. But which I think they're doing. I don't know which brand is doing that.
I mean, Jericho could win the Rumble.
He could.
Forcing him and Owens, you know, to fight, and they could still be best friends, and then shit starts turning sour because Jericho is going to have to fight him.
I don't know.
And Jericho he's the most over person in the company. So him winning the Rumble, no one could really knock the WWE for doing that shit. It's great to give it to someone young or someone unexpected, but why not Jericho?
He's the hottest thing going right now.
And the list? Come on.
That's what I'm saying. When he puts Kevin on the list, the pop is going to be insane. I feel like the last month they've kind of mishandled that Owens-Jericho thing by trying to make Jericho look like the asshole. Because now that we know it was all a ruse, it doesn't resonate the same. But, you know.
No, Owens has to be the asshole in the situation.
But that's what they haven't done. They've made Owens like love Jericho. It's like bromance, and it's almost too much at this point.
Yeah,
like Owens needs to be a dick, and that's what he's good at being. And he's not really being that with Jericho. Like to be the champion, and to rely on your best friend so much weakens the champ, and they shouldn't have gone that route.
Exactly. The last question before we wrap it up. 2017, if you had to pick one person as your breakout star, who is it? I would say last year's breakout star was Kevin Owens, though. IC title into, you know, incredible ladder match at WrestleMania, carrying that all the way through, becoming the Universal Champion, carrying the belt. Say what you want, chicken shit heel, whatever you may call. He's carried the belt for 4 to 5 months. No one, 2 years ago, that's unimaginable. That Kevin Owens is going to carry the WWE title. So people dislike this year's shit. I mean, it's hard to not give that to AJ Styles too, right? But I mean, look at both champions. They're two indie guys, two ROH guys. Like it's Styles and Kevin Owens. So this year can only really be so bad because at the top we have two of the best wrestlers in the world.
No, and I mean that's the great thing. We've entered an era where AJ Styles and Kevin Owens are the champs. Right, like
we can only complain so much. Yeah, like last year we had Roman Reigns getting pushed to the moon. At this point, we're kind of spoiled as wrestling fans.
Yeah, so, like he's like I don't like how Kevin Owens is being booked, but I am happy to see him as champ. I am happy to see him in the WWE. AJ Styles, I don't have a problem with AJ Styles. How's he been booked? Even though he's lost to Ellsworth, AJ Styles is the best thing in wrestling. Period. Right now.
Yeah.
But a breakout for next year.
For next year. I'd say those two are breakout stars from last year. AJ Styles probably a little bit more.
It'd have to be Nakamura.
Okay.
The only other person could be Finn Balor. But honestly, I think it'd have to be Nakamura. If Nakamura's going to make the jump, I mean, WWE has never had anything like Shinsuke Nakamura. They've never had an Asian on top. They've never had somebody with that much charisma. Nakamura is a whole different type of superstar. And if he gets the run that he deserves and he ends up holding that title, man, it's a new era. It's a completely new era because, like I said, WWE has been horrible with handling Asians. And Nakamura will be the first time they did something right.
No, agreed. Man, yeah, when I sat down, I was looking at it, I was like, there's a lot of possibilities. But you picked Knock. I was close to picking him, but I had to go for your guy, Bobby Roode. I think he's in the WWE ASAP. I think WrestleMania weekend, he's one of the call-ups to the Raw after Mania. And yes. That guy has it. More so, I still don't trust Vince to put an Asian on top. So say what you want. I don't trust Vince to do it. Roode, on the other hand, looks like a Vince guy.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be champ, though.
And I think he'll be champ. I think he's pushed to the moon.
I don't think so. I don't think Roode will be. I think Roode will get pushed. Don't get me wrong.
I think it goes like Owens, though, right? Owens was IC champ first and then had a run and blah, blah, blah. I see Bobby Roode being an Intercontinental Champion.
Well, yeah. I think that's, like, mandatory. Like
immediate. Roode, like, he's stepping in. He's grabbing that belt.
Yeah, Bobby Roode immediately becomes a better version of The Miz. And take that how you want to take it.
That's one hell of a statement because The Miz is great right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he becomes a better version of The Miz. He has a better entrance. He's a better IC champion. He could potentially be a WWE champion. But they're very similar. They're not, again, I don't, like, Roode's a better wrestler than The Miz. I've never been wowed with Roode's in-ring work. I think it's good. I don't think it's great. But,
you know. I'm glad they fixed the finisher.
Yeah, he definitely needed to do that.
Definitely. So, Roode is my pick. I think they shoot him to the moon next year. But it's so hard to predict, but, man, there's a lot of talent. So we say what we want. There's a lot of talent coming up through NXT. They have to reload again. Because WWE is only going to get better. We're going to weed out the Titus O'Neils and the all that shit. Everyone. And we'll complain about people not getting a push or people not getting booked, the Apollo Crews of the world. But when Apollo Crews is your ground floor, you're doing something right.
Yeah, you got something going.
The talent level is no joke, so I can't wait for 2017. Thanks, all you guys, for staying with us the entire show. Like I said, next week we have our awards show. We'll bring you all of our awards, a couple of ciphers. Going to just enjoy your Christmas holiday. Enjoy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you may celebrate, my man. We're equal opportunity show over here. We love everybody. Be safe on New Year's, We're going to just treat next week like a celebration. It's going to be a party on the show. So make sure you guys follow us on social media at The Corner LSN on all platforms. I'm at Kel Dansby on everything. Old man sick Andreas, so you know where to find him.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it.
Yeah, make sure you guys hit us up. We'd love to hear from you guys. And to a great 2017. But for right now, we're out.
Peace.